Now, Parshas Pekudei, it seems just a repeat of previous parashas. But in Hakamas HaMishkan, we get to see new nekudas that help shed light on certain things in the binyan and so on. If you take a look at the very last parasha, you have the Hakamas HaMishkan, and it says as follows. Vayitens HaShulchan, put the Shulchan up. A new pasik, Vayarav Lev Erech Lechem Hashem. So he put up a Shulchan, and he put down the Lechem, which is the content. Next one, Vayazam Samenoira, he put the Menoira, Vayal HaNeiros Hashem, put the Neiros up. Mizbach Hazov, Keteiros, then a new pasik, Vayosim Es Mosech HaPeschel Mishkan. He then put up the curtain between the Mishkan and the outside. Then he has the Mizbech HaOlah, and on it, and he put an oil, and was Mark of Oil, the Kir, and the water. So every single Kli that's in the Mishkan has the Asiyas HaKli, and the Haktara, Hakrava, whatever it was that was made on it, and so on. The an exception seems to be when we get when in the beginning of the parasha, when we talk about the Aron, it says he put the Aron, Vayaves Aron al Mishkan. He brought the Aron into the Mishkan. Vayosim es pareches hamasach. He put up the pareches. Vayoschal Aron Eidos, and he covered Aron Eidos. Kashesiv Hashem es Moshe. So this seems to be a bit out of order. In other words, the Vayosim es pareches hamasach should be a new pasuk that is sort of parallel to Vayosim es Moshe Pesach LaMishkan. You know, you needed to put up the mechitza. You put up the mechitza. It shouldn't be included in one pasuk with the bringing the Aron in. It's not an avoid in the Aron. It has nothing to do with the Aron, really. It's the next phase. And as such, it should have its own pasuk. It's true, there may not have been any avoda associated with the Aron. He does say before the pasuk before Vayitan say Eidus al Aron versus the bottom al Aron. So putting in the Eidus might have been that act of, so to speak, putting the content into the Kli. But this is certainly a new pasuk. So Vayosim es Moshech should have been a new pasuk. Secondly, if we compare this pasuk with the next pasuk, it says Vayosim es Moshech HaPeschel Mishkan. He put up the Moshech HaPeschel Mishkan. It doesn't say why in any way, shape, or form. And the reason is simple. This is part of the binyan of the Mishkan. This is the way it should be. It should be it needs to have a pareches, then you put it up. All the pareches and all the masach, the pareches, actually it's sort of divided up areas. You divide it up the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the Kodesh, the El Moed from the Chatzar, and the Chatzar from, you put up curtains and divide it from the rest of the world. So it doesn't really need to say anything. And yet in the first pasuk by the Aron, it says Vayosech al Aron ha'edus. It sort of protected the Aron ha'edus. Why does it have any shaykhus the Aron ha'edus? The pareches of the oil moyed doesn't have any real shaykhus to the menorah and the shulchan and the mizbeach toras. It's there. And why is it so connected to it? I also would like to be medayik the lashon. It says Vayosech al Aron ha'edus. The word Vayosech means to protect. It's in some way the all of the those dividers are called a mesach. Al Aron ha'edus is really not the right description of it. It doesn't lay on the Aron ha'edus. It doesn't have any particular bearing to Aron ha'edus. It's between the Kodesh Kodashim, but that's it. Doesn't have. The pasuk makes it clear Vayosech al Aron ha'edus, almost as if there's something covering over the Aron ha'edus. The other two mesachs are called mesach. Mesach is a curtain. A pareches, Rashi says, is a paragoid. Rashi in Truma, it says it's a pargoid, like a melech that puts a pargoid, and it's called Pareches HaMasach. So here we have two Lashonos describing this, the Pareches, the inner Pareches, and that's interesting. I mean, Lechura, all three are exactly the same. You have a divider, because you need to have different areas, you know, many, many reasons given for it. And whatever is true of the other two mesechs should be true of this mesech as well, and yet it's not. It's something that is unique to this Pareches HaMasach. One more nekuda that you have that's highly unusual and that is something unique to the Pareches HaMasach. When it says before, in again, this is going in the parishes of Tetzaveh, where you have the actual building, we have the instruction on building it. So it says that the reason the description of all of the different parts of the Mishkan and how to make the outside construction of it. So the pasuk says, the pasukim describe the krushim with the rias hamishkan and so on. And then you have that vasisa pareches, v'nasata sa pareches tachas krushim, v'hivdila ha pareches lachem min hakodesh hakadoshim. The pareches is going to be mavdil between the kodesh and the kodesh hakadoshim. So it divides the two. This is true of the other pareches, of the other masach, but it doesn't say that. It does not say that those are going to be dividing it. It just says it's a masach, vasis le masach, and so on. Vasis a masach peschol treels argomon, vasis a masach mishamur it's shittim, and then there's a masach outside. Nothing about dividing, about lahavdil, is written over there. So what's the pshat? It seems to have a unique function, and it has a lot more to it than just the masach that was true, that was by the between the Ohel Moed and the Chatzah, and the Chatzah and outside. So let's take the word the vayav lahavdil, and let's try to understand what it's doing over here. If we take a look at the very first bria, and that is the bria of Oyer. So on the one hand, we have the Maimer HaChacham, that Me'at min ha'or megarish havi min ha'choshech, that a little bit or can light up a lot of choshech. That's something that is known. It's something which even in modern science says that a human eye can actually discern even one photon. It's a very, very strong light, is extremely strong, and it's very powerful, and there is no choshech where there's or. Yet we know that the first day it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the or and the choshech, it's not noya for the or and the choshech to be mishtamesh b'ervuvia. It's something which it seems from the psukim. Rashi says, "Rosh and a kedai l'shtamsh v'rishoyim, v'vdil tzadik v'salavoy." That's one. Ulfi pshutu kach parshei. Ro ro ohu kitoiv ve'ein noy loy v'lachoishach shemshamsh v'uvuvia. The kavod zetchum yom zetchum laila. So he saw that choishach cannot be mishtamsh or b'uvuvia, and that's why he made this havdalah. So we have a very, very strange metzias over here. We have or, which is more powerful than any choshech of the world, and yet, once you have it being mishtamesh bevuvia, it's not good for it. If I can take something else like that, the oil that is meir de choyshech. So you take a little oir, and there's a lot of choyshech all around, and the oir is meir de choyshech, no matter how strong the choyshech is. And yet, if there's the smallest taruvis in the oir itself, then it smokes, and it gives off darkness, really, does not give off any good light. So we have this interesting paradox. When the oir itself is pure, and it's shining out, nothing stands in its way. When you're ma'arbiv in the oir itself, any taroivis, or as much taroivis as you ma'arbiv in it, it loses its potency. That is the nature of oir. So the oirin, it's meloshon oir, actually, a teira is oir. In other words, the ha'ara of light is something so powerful that it does take away any choshech, and that's why, just like the first bria in the tsheirish was oyer, the first and central nekuda of the mishkan was the aron, and the aron's with the luchos, and the oron with the luchos was meir. It shed light on everything else. In other words, light is something that is it's the brain. It allows for the brain to dehear and understand, as opposed to taste and touch and smell, and even hearing, which are sort of physical senses, very physical. Light is something that primarily feeds information to the brain, and that information is something that is that is mafchin and mavdil, and that's called oir. It gives meaning, understanding, parameters to everything around you. Now, one thing relevant to oir, if a person has oir being projected, it will help dispel any darkness and will lead him to safety, with one special caveat, and that is, if any choshech is misarbev with the oir, then the oir stops working, and you go back again and have toyu v'voyu. The Ramchal, when he speaks about the misleading states of how the Yitzharim misleads a person, Ramchal says in Mesil Sesharim, very famous marshal, you can have a person walking in darkness, means he does not have the illumination of Ur, and that's very bad. But worse than that is, a person who is walking in a twilight, where he thinks he sees, and he does see things, but those things that he sees are distorted. And seeing something distorted is much worse than seeing something good. So I'll call upon him that seeing something not at all. A distorted view of something is much, much worse than an absence of a view. When we're talking about the Mishkan, so the two areas that had to be demarcated were halachas, because the things to become a chatzah, you needed to have the areas around, and you needed to separate it from everywhere else around. It wasn't that the Mizbeach Ha'olah per se couldn't function unseparated, because you could bring Karbanis and Abama. It was Asur, but there were times when it was Mutter. So Abama does function. The Makom Avoda, the Shulchan, and the Zaktar, and so on, they need a certain Makom where to be, and the Parechas marks off the Makom. So it's really indirect. In other words, Mizbeach, HaKetores, and Menorah need to be in the Ol Moed. The only way you can have a Olmod is if you have walls around it. The Oren needs to be cut off from everywhere else. The direction of the oir coming from the Oren has to be going from the inside out, and anything coming from the outside in would destroy that oir. So b'meila, it was lehavdil, it cut off. Its job wasn't to create. So normally a person has a house, it's more what's inside. It's warm inside, it's cool inside. It's private inside, it's a place where to keep things and so on and so forth. But the purpose of this paroiches was lahavdil. It was to cut any connection from outside in. You were not allowed to go from outside in ever, except in kibbutz mechapa. The mahalach of being cut off protected the aron. It wasn't indirect. All the other ones was a masach and created a space, and that space was where you could put the kelim. Over here, it was a masach al ha'aron, because really this masach was actually closing off the it was taking the aron out of circulation. The word paroiches also, the Rashi says it's like a pargoid that separates the melech from the am. So everyone has his space, everyone has his place. I like a private place to sit, so I'm sitting in my home, it's private. But when I have a melech, the privacy is a havdalah that sets the melech aside from the am. It's not just that the melech needs a place, and so he happens to have a palace. The palace takes the king out of circulation, and everything emanates from the palace outwards and not the other way around. It says in the Pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the walls, they were when he built the Beis HaMikdash, it says the windows were Atumim Shkufim. Atumim Shkufim is an oxymoron. It means closed and see-through. Atum means closed off, sealed. Shkufa means transparent. So it's interesting. I think that Barmanel says that it means that they were made of glass, which in those days was the only thing that could actually be closed and yet see-through. I don't know if it was glass that long ago, in times of the Chumash, of the Tanakh, but it could be whatever, transparent stones of some sort. But the normal pshat of Atum Shkufin is that the windows were small on the inside, large on the outside. A window was a hole cut in the wall, and normally you try to give a lot of light coming from the outside and funnel it to the inside. Here, you wanted the insides specifically only to give light to the outside and not the other way around. So it was atumim going from outside in and shkufim from inside out, because the purpose of Ur is to go out and to enlighten. Al Kapanim, we have here a certain description of the Makom HaKodesh, and especially the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where it's identified, because it doesn't identify with Ur, and it has in itself that particular tchuna of being able to vanquish almost anything and yet being super vulnerable to being affected by anything outside in. If we think about it, in Klal Yisrael's Yichud, in Klal Yisrael's Yi'ud, on the one hand it says Psukim along the lines of I'm going to make you a light unto nations. It says v'holchu goyim la'orcha. All sorts of psukim of showing a kind of light unto the nations, which means we're small, we're tiny, and yet we're able to be mashpia on the world. In many ways, Rishayim point out, Rambam in Sefer Melachim, Christianity and Islam adopted, this was Goyim that adopted very important tenets of Yiddishkeit, whether it's Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah in a Mashiach that brings a Tikkun of the Olam and so on. Those were ideas that we projected to Mosheilam and became part and parcel of the world's understanding. So the V'holchu Goyim La'orcha is a Kiyam. On the other hand, what destroyed Klal Yisrael was Erev Rav. Falei Davahu. Erev Rav is so Ma'adach, a lamdon will come along with a kalvo chayma. Ma'adach Klal Yisrael is a tiny ummah of a few million people, amash be'am billions of people. So what's the problem with Erev Rav? The answer is, if Klal Yisrael has its own mitzias and is muvdal, and in its own circle it is only itself and itself only, then there's no end to how far out it's mashpia. When Klal Yisrael, when the Taroivis goes to the heart of Klal Yisrael, when it becomes mixed into Klal Yisrael itself, it's instantly destroyed. Just like Shemen Kossis, if the Shemen has a drop of any other impurity in it, it doesn't emit light, it emits smoke and darkness. This is a little bit of understanding of Hashkafa. I guess here, the Olam here is an Olam that, on the one hand, the Hashkafa of the yeshivas and the Masoros that we have did not call for a total isolation and solidarity. We are part and parcel of the world. We function in the world. We modified our dress to some degree. We go to schools and so on. And yet there was a very, very strong kanos not to allow a mixture of anything else within our yeshiva world. Somebody would say again, a kal v'chomer, wouldn't it be more simple to bring the mudir chol into yeshiva? And I'm talking about yeshiva in the formative years. Wouldn't it be better if a person had some sort of double curriculum and so on and so forth? Those why are we afraid of the goyim? Aren't we supposed to be an or to the goyim? Those are all tainus that were raised. So if you are of a mindset where you're totally isolated, insulated, totally, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's job to worry about the or goyim and so on, then yes, then okay. So that's how we protect ourselves. We're very weak, however you want to call it. But once you are allowing and making this part of a normative life of being together, being part of the world, so why is it that we have such strong isnagdus to anything but a tzur of yeshiva? We have a tzur of medrash. There was isnagdus to people who were eloquent speakers and so on. The language they spoke outside was the language of the world. The language spoken inside was the language of the medrash. Why? And the answer is because that's exactly our perspective about the Oyer of Torah. The Oyer of Torah is all-powerful, all-mashpia, and its job is to go out into the world around. But if there is any Erev Rav, if there's anything mixed into it, and therefore the formative years of a person, when we can equate those years with being let's call it the Kodesh Kodesh on a person. When a person forms his inner core, his inner sanctum, that tolerates zero infiltration of any idea, culture, feeling that doesn't belong in Torah. It's coming from someplace else, and that is absolutely vital, critical, that the aura burn that way. There is no oyer if we patch it up with anything else. Once a person has built that oyer, and a person has put in a very sharp havdalah between that and the world, that there is zero coming in terms of anything from the outside in. Now, however small or bright that flame is, it has the ability to chase away a lot of choshech. It's true in terms of you know, the culture of Amasar Lam, it's true in terms of mores, it's in ambitions, many areas of Amasar Lam, of Darkish Olam, anything that's not Kodesh, when it's illuminated by Kedusha, it takes on a tzur of Kedusha. The avoda of it is to keep it pure and still. When we make sure that Nekudas Ha'ar is Muvdal, and this is Kodesh Kedashim, and has zero contact outside, and everything comes from there outside. The Vayavdol Lakim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put an Ur HaGonus into the Bria, to Torah, into Klal Yisrael, into the Mishkan. And the Lassid Lavoi, the Ur HaGonus will be the one that Ur will come out and be mirror on the whole world. If it itself is totally Muvdal, and there is no Eirav in it, that's when it becomes an Asatichol Ur LaGoyim.